This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards are actually worth the annual fee and which just look shiny, how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships, when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices, and more. So travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Let's talk Vegas bachelor party, but make it smart travel. Two globalists walk into the Palazzo, one books with Hyatt, the other with Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts, and our experiences could not have been more different. Fine Hotels and Resorts got a guaranteed 4 p.m. checkout, daily breakfast for two, and a $100 property credit. The Hyatt booking? Beautiful suite, sure, but no breakfast, no waived resort fees, no free parking, not even bottled water. Today, we'll break down the real cost, the upgrade reality, and exactly who should book which path for this property. Plus, the non-cliche bachelor itinerary, Navy SEAL-led training, the new John Wick experience, and how routing nightlife through Tao hospitality stacked us some Tao rewards for legit future savings. If you're planning Vegas and eyeing the Venetian or the Palazzo, this episode could save you a chunk of cash and a lot of disappointment.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, I have a fantastic guest for all of you and a really great topic to talk through as well. Before we go to introducing him, first, a quick reminder that you can watch all of these episodes in their entirety on YouTube. And for those that are on YouTube, not only do we have all these episodes in audio format on all podcast platforms, but on Fridays, we release an audio-only Quick Hits. That's our quick, up-to-date travel news and points and miles news. Comes out every Friday on all podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., etc. Now, on to today's guest, who I'm super excited to introduce, one of my best friends in the world, one of my best men that are going to be in my wedding. His name is Chris Wallace. He is a financial advisor just like me. Our offices are just a few doors down from each other. Fantastic individual, fantastic advisor, has his own practice, his own team under Wallace Wealth Group. And so, Chris, super excited to have you on the show to talk through this Vegas bachelor experience.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be on my first podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we kind of start unpacking all the benefits and talking through this, I know there's always just a quick question of like, well, why Vegas? And Vegas definitely seems so cliche for a bachelor party. And I would say I would be 100% in agreement with that sentiment for sure. And I remember as I said, hey, I'm going to have all the best men kind of figure it out. And I don't have any groomsmen. So all the guys in the wedding, they're all considered best men. I said, hey, kind of figure out where we're going to go. You guys know I'm partial to Hyatt opportunities and places, and you guys figure it out. And the discussion was like, well, let's go ahead and do a Vegas experience. However, let's not do the typical Vegas of just girls and gambling. And I said, okay, I'm down for that. So we're able to have some really unique experiences, which we're going to talk through more at the end. But why the Palazzo? Well, It's tied to the Venetian, and there's pretty much three Hyatt options on the Vegas. Well, two Hyatt options on the Vegas Strip, and one more that's Vegas Strip adjacent. So there's the Venetian and the Palazzo, which are sister properties and they're interconnected. And there's the Rio Hotel, which is not on the Strip. So it's a little bit of a hike to get to the Strip from there. So we said, hey, if we're going to do this, why not do it right? And let's stay on the Strip, as well as the fact that the Palazzo is the newer of the two properties. And so we just decided, hey, let's go for, well, the better experience. So Chris, let me ask you this. What made you decide to book through Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts versus directly with Hyatt?
You know, I was looking through my phone for some pictures to talk about for our podcast today. And whenever I'm looking for pictures, I just type in wherever we went. So I typed in Vegas. And I think we literally booked this back in January for an August trip. I don't know if it was actually that long ago, but that's the first thing that popped up. So the honest answer is back in January, I didn't even know what a globalist was. I thought it just meant you traveled a lot. And so when I booked it, I booked pretty much everything through Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts, if it's available. And that's just the reason why I did it. Mostly because of the 5X points, early check-in, late check-out, $100 property credit, and free breakfast.
Got it. Now, I know you said that you didn't even know what a globalist was. Can you let the audience know, how'd you go from, hey, I've always just done everything through Amex FHR. I'm just going to start abbreviating Fine Hotels and Resorts as FHR just for the sake of this podcast. So, you know, going from someone that's always Amex FHR for their booking or the Amex travel portal to now being someone who enjoys Hyatt properties. I know you have some upcoming stays at Hyatt. You're a Hyatt globalist. You were on our snowboarding trip to Colorado at Beaver Creek, where we stayed at the Park Hyatt there. So you got a taste of what Hyatt properties look like. How has that evolution happened so fast to go from, I didn't even know what a globalist is or was, to now I'm a globalist in less than 8 months?
Well, I just realized how many properties Hyatt has been acquiring over the last 5 or 6 years or so. And then I looked back all of the trips that we've taken, and some of my favorite properties have been a Hyatt property. More specifically, the Secrets All-Inclusive Resorts in the Caribbean, the Park Hyatt that we stayed at, and then, you know, honestly, just conversations with you about what all a globalist gets.
100% can definitely appreciate that. Well, I thought this would be an excellent opportunity to compare the two experiences, because I think it's really easy for someone who is in the points and miles world to say, hey, I'm not going to even bother with booking through the Amex portal, through Fine Hotels and Resorts. I know I'm a globalist. This is a Hyatt property, to just go the higher route. But I would actually say, as a heads up, if I were to do it again, I think I would probably go through Amex versus directly through Hyatt, but we can talk through some of those comparisons. Now, obviously, booking is going to be pretty straightforward either way that you go when it came to the experience of, you know, going online with Hyatt versus going online with Amex. I don't think there's going to be a huge difference there. However, I will notice one of the reasons why I chose to go through Hyatt directly for this, outside of wanting to get the night credits and everything else, is there was a noticeable difference in cost for what I booked. So I had booked a one bedroom suite at the Palazzo. Now everything is a suite, but this was I think it's called a one bedroom grand suite. It's a much larger space. And when I looked at the same room through Amex FHR, it was about $200 or $300 more expensive for the entire stay, not per night, but for the entire stay. So for that, I was like, hey, you know what? I will go ahead and take the savings. And I thought there would be some additional benefits still, like the free breakfast and other things, but we didn't get that. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But let me ask you this, Chris. So when we think through the Palazzo, what was your impression of getting there, the check-in experience? They literally had a section specifically that was earmarked for Amex FHR. So can you talk through what your check-in process was like, and then I'll talk through what it was for the rest of us?
Yeah, right. I think we started seeing the differences right away. So we walk in and there's a really big check-in desk, probably with 12 or 15 different people checking folks in. And there's a sign at the beginning of the line. It just says check-in and it's blank on the bottom. And then you look over to the left and there's one person, no line, and there's a sign that says check-in, and I can see some really small writing at the bottom of the sign, and I'm curious. So I walk over and it says check-in for Fine Hotels and Resorts guests only. So right away, we're able to skip the line. We don't have to wait in line for any more than a minute. I think there was actually one person in front of us. And keep in mind, it's 8:30 in the morning still. right? I don't know why we decided to book the earliest flight possible, but we did. And it worked out because we got there super early and had the whole day. But anyway, so I go up to the check-in woman at 8:30 and we try to check in, and she tells us that there may not be rooms available, but she spends probably 2 or 3 minutes looking at every single room option and she finds one for me. Now, she did say that because I'm checking in so early, there's no upgrades available, but I can at least have a room. And I don't think anybody who booked through Hyatt had their room ready, which really worked out for at least one of us to have a room so we can all hang out and put our stuff in there.
Yeah, 100%. And what made that experience a little bit more confusing as well is because, as you said, so there's kind of three check-in areas. There's the part that says Amex Fine Hotel check-in. And I think above it on the ceiling or the wall, very high, I'm talking like almost a full story and a half above it, it says something like Elite check-in or something along those lines. And then you have the main check-in, which has the very long lines that you can walk through or wait in. And then there's a separate, like, enclosed area that says VIP check-in. So I'm thinking, well, if that is the check-in for Amex FHR and the middle is the regular check-in for everyone else, maybe the globalist check-in is the VIP, like, behind, you know, glass doors. I walk in there and I was like, hey, where is the globalist check-in? And they clearly were like, you're in the wrong place. And they basically sent me to exactly where you were. But by that point, everyone else in our party had already, well, part of the ones that booked through FHR were waiting behind you. And then the ones that didn't book through FHR were waiting in the regular line. And so it was really confusing because if you walk in thinking, okay, where's the Hyatt elite status line, whether you're discoverist, explorers, globalist, there was nothing that actually said where you should go, only regular check-ins. I'm assuming the gambler VIPs and the Amex people.
Yeah, I didn't even know that happened to you.
Yeah, and then the follow-up to that is, as you said, your room was ready first. No one else's room was ready. And even at the regular check-in time of, I think it's either 3 or 4, my room was not ready. And again, I had the upgraded suite. Now, one thing I want to clarify, I did not pay points for my booking. I ended up paying cash. We talked about this on the podcast on one of our quick hits months ago, but there was a huge promotional deal, especially within Vegas. And so almost all of us, I think, rebooked our stays because they were giving away, essentially it was around Easter timeframe. So I was able to essentially get all of my cash and points back, because originally I did a mix of a cash and points booking because the weekend points were so expensive. It was like 90,000 points a night for the room I was in. It was something utterly insane versus 30,000 points for the non-Friday and Saturday nights. Well, I was able to get all my points and cash back and still save, I think, somewhere around $300 or $400 on the total booking just by doing it all in cash. So I didn't use any points for this stay at all. Could have, but chose not to. But the experience with me, when I got to my 4 p.m. or 3 p.m. check-in time, the room was still not available. In fact, I remember going there and they're like, hey, we still don't have a room for you. However, instead of having a one master grand bedroom, whatever it's called, with a king bed in it, we do have one available with two queens in the separate bedroom, but it's also $30 more extra per night. And because I didn't want to wait longer for a room, I was like, fine, let's just pay the $30 extra per night for the room. But it's a little bit frustrating. Again, these are experiences that you don't expect to have from a globalist standpoint. And I know this sounds very, I don't know, first world problems-ish, but these are experiences that, you know, you come to, you play this game, you come to expect. And it was a very different experience, I would say, versus you got probably the better end of the deal and treatment across the board.
Yeah, I didn't know that happened either. I'm surprised they would have made you pay when your room wasn't ready past the guaranteed check-in time.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where we were all tired and I think we had something to get to as well.
It's kind of whatever, just give me the room. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly it. So from the room itself, what did you think of the room that you had? I mean, what did you think of the Palazzo and your room as a whole?
Well, it was definitely an above average room for a hotel, but totally average for Vegas. I mean, it was nice, but it was just pretty standard at best. Nothing fancy. They didn't even face the cool side of Vegas. I think I looked at, I don't even remember what I looked at, honestly. It wasn't the Sphere or anything cool.
Yeah, so, and then because they didn't upgrade you, because, yeah, you were looking at Treasure Island for your room.
That's right.
I think the majority of us, we were on the back end, so we were facing the Sphere, which was nice. I would say from a bachelor party experience, it was nice having that large grand suite because we had a huge living room, kind of separate area with a very large counter, tables and stuff in there. So when we went to the store, if we wanted to get drinks, beverages, food, whatever, maybe we could have actually a whole spread in the room, which was nice. I would agree with you. I think it's definitely felt elevated from a standard travel or hotel experience, but from a Vegas experience, I would say that the room definitely felt elevated in a lot of different ways, and I can't say I didn't mind the space. I mean, it was a huge amount of space. In fact, my room had two bathrooms in it, and it had a like a double door opening entrance. So, you know, I do think the waiting for the or getting this larger suite made the experience a little bit nicer, and it wasn't that much more expensive, although I had to pay the extra $30 a night. But again, it was about having that experience for all of us and having a space for all of us, which was nice.
Yeah, your room was perfect for what we needed it for, with the space and the table and the countertop and the extra bathroom. It was a good deal.
Absolutely would agree. So transitioning a little bit to talking through the perks, where I'd say I think you get a lot of outsized value on the Amex FHR side, where if I was going back, especially if I was going back and staying with someone like you, it was me and our Taryn and I going together, where I know we likely would be eating, you know, having two meals a day for breakfast or whatever it may be. I think this is where the value is, because through Amex FHR, you get the $100 on-site credit, but you also get the daily breakfast for two. And although at Hyatt Properties as a globalist, you're supposed to get breakfast for two, you don't get that here. So the $200 to $300 I saved from the standpoint of not booking through FHR, I essentially, if it was two of us, could have easily covered that with the free breakfast, especially on a more than three or four night stay. And I know, Chris, you took advantage of this. I mean, there's a million restaurants in the Palazzo of Venetian. So how does that actually work with their breakfast benefit?
There were so many restaurants, I don't think we could have tried them all. So it was the standard $60 breakfast credit for up to two people. And I've been at properties where you have to have two people on the check to get the $60 credit. And if it's one person and you order $45 worth of food, they're going to charge you the $15. But here it was pretty simple. I mean, even Starbucks was included on the $60 daily breakfast credit, which I found kind of unusual. So, you know, I just made sure that I ate as much as I could before 11 a.m. So it was included in that $60. I went to Starbucks every morning. I went to this awesome restaurant called Yardbird. I had a steak and eggs with no eggs, but instead I got hash browns. And I don't normally take pictures of my food, but it was so awesome I did. One thing that I think needs to be paid attention to is the $100 property credit isn't available at least half of the different places that are there. I'm just kind of used to, you know, I go to a resort, you know, go to the spa, get a treatment. I eat at all the restaurants. I do room service, which I did two or three times in Vegas. And just through doing all those different things, usually one of them triggers a $100 property credit. But when I checked out, the host told me, hey, you still have 100% of your $100 left over. Do you want to go spend it really quick? And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? I did the spa, I did room service, I did the restaurant. And he was like, no, it's only these things. So I would make sure that if you're trying to use that credit, you know that the spa doesn't count, most restaurants don't count, and there's a limited amount of places you can actually spend that credit. What I will say is they were pretty easy to work with, because when I was checking out and he offered, hey, go back and spend the $100, and I let him know I was checking out, he mentioned adding you to my reservation, which we did, so that you can just go spend the $100 because you were staying an extra day. And I don't know if you actually got a chance to do that, but I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I had tried to get a chance to use it. The timing of it didn't work out quite as well as what I'd like, because we ended up going to the pool. And I think the bar at the pool, there's one that does work with it and one that didn't. And I think by the time I got to the one that did, they couldn't find the room reservation anymore. I think it had closed out. So it was a little bit of a lost cause, unfortunately. But these are kind of the things that are a little bit nuanced with the experience as a whole, because it's really about understanding the benefits where you can. Because I know a lot of people that are in the points and miles space, you are listening to this and looking to maximize every single dollar and cent that you possibly can with all these benefits that you have. And it's really good to know when they don't come in handy, or so that you don't get surprised by that. But one of the things I'll say, Chris, is I know you got a chance to experience a lot of the hotel, like you said, the spa, the pool, the different things like that. Can you kind of talk through what you thought of the Palazzo as a whole, like the experience overall with a lot of the things that you got a chance to do?
Yeah, I mean, when you think of a typical Vegas hotel, you don't really think like clean, right? But the Palazzo is very clean, and the spa there, they were telling me it was the largest day spa in North America, I believe, or the United States. Either way, super impressive. Had an awesome massage there. One of the best ones that I've ever had, and it was reasonable. It wasn't like $400 like most massages are at different resorts. Gym was super awesome, and you couldn't go more than 25 feet without finding something to eat. So being on the East Coast, I didn't really adjust too well to the West Coast time. So I was in bed early and also up at like 5:30. So I had about 2 or 3 hours to myself before the rest of the group got up. So I would kind of keep the same routine. I would wake up, I would go to a Starbucks downstairs, which, by the way, walking through a Vegas casino at 5 a.m. is a completely different scene than walking through a Vegas casino at 10 p.m. So you definitely see some characters when you do that. So I would go and get my Starbucks. I would work out. I would get some food afterwards, and it was just really cool to spend some time around the hotel when it wasn't incredibly busy, because there's something to do no matter what time of the day was.
I would absolutely agree with you. And I felt like the layout of it was really nice. Obviously, you know, security was all over the place. You had to actually tap your key card against a reader to be able to even get into the hotel rooms, which was really nice. The pool options were huge. I mean, the pools were absolutely massive. Really only spent one afternoon at the pools because it was so hot. And we had so many other plans there as well. I know you had to leave a day early, but we also got to catch one of their headline shows there, which was Shin Lim, the Illusionist. And that was a really cool experience. Their theater was super nice. So it really got a kind of a fantastic display. Even though he's an illusionist with like close-up card tricks, they really did a good job of bringing that to the fact that even if you were up in the balcony like we were, that you had a chance to see it and be connected with the experience, which was really nice. And so overall, I would think the property was really nice. I've never stayed at the Venetian side, so I can't really compare with that. And my only other time in Vegas, we were at Bellagio, which was also a very beautiful, amazing hotel as well. I'd say the space of the rooms, even the non-grand suite room that I had, did seem very sizable. And I think even if you're going as a group of like two or three on a budget, or even four, you're trying to be four in a room, you can do that pretty easily, even with a regular, just their standard suite, because their standard suite is their standard room at that hotel.
I was kind of wondering, this is kind of random back in the conversation, but how often do you recommend people going back and price checking the trips they've already booked? Because when that happened to us, it was a noticeable difference. I think I saved $200 by canceling and rebooking because the rates went down.
Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. And that's one of the things that I talk about often with flights. I think it's a lot easier to do with flights because you can set alerts, whether it's with Google Flights or with a points booking service like Points, yeah, whatever it may be, to track and see where points are or cash prices are for flights to cancel and rebook. I think with hotels, it's a little bit different. Sometimes there's not alerts like that I have found when it comes to cash bookings with hotels. But I would say it doesn't hurt every couple of weeks just to double check where you're staying and see if the pricing has changed by chance. And if it has, and as long as there's no cancellation or you didn't book a non-refundable or non-flexible ticket, doesn't hurt to cancel, rebook, basically save money. So I do think it's something that makes sense to check in over time. Unfortunately, I can't take credit for this one because it was Matt in our group. He had been tracking it pretty much almost every other day, looking at changes, saw pricing going down, and basically said to all of us in the group chat, hey guys, prices have dropped incredibly. I think you all might want to look at rebooking. And we all did. And we all saved hundreds of dollars, which was incredible. So that just goes to the timing of you just never know. And when we're talking through travel like this, you always just want to make sure to keep your options open, and it just never hurts to keep checking. So there are a few other aspects of the stay there that I think is important to know of what you would get differently as a globalist that there at the Palazzo Venetian that you may not expect. So for example, and I have some of my notes here. So your parking, that's not going to be waived. Even if you're booking fully on points for an award stay, you're going to be paying $23+ per day for parking, even if you booked on points, even if you're a globalist. As well as even free water, which you'd expect is the base level Hyatt Discoverist, you're not going to be able to get there as well. So don't expect to get complimentary waters just because you have Hyatt status at all. That's not going to be a thing. Now, something to note, you also don't get either of those through Amex FHR. This is just not given at all. Another point as well is the resort fees are also not waived. So if you book with All On Points and there are resort fees, which I believe there are at the Palazzo and the Venetian, you can expect to still pay those as well. So a lot of these typical globalist benefits, again, honestly, being a globalist there didn't really feel all that special. It's probably the least special I've ever felt. And I think that's because they're not technically a Hyatt property. They're just under the Hyatt suite of brands now. And they're more like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith where they kind of operate by their own set of rules. But just something to know, this is going to be a very different experience. So don't go in there with the same expectations that you would going to a Park Hyatt Maldives or a Park Hyatt Beaver Creek or really anywhere else. Even a Hyatt Place, I feel like, gets a little bit better treatment to globalists than we experience at the Palazzo there. However, it's still a fantastic hotel and they still cater to you across the board. I just don't think there's anything special between, you know, me being a globalist and someone else coming in to getting any sort of, you know, extra treatment or special benefits. And the late checkout benefits, I think it was actually later with Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts. I think you got the 4 p.m. checkout versus globalist only gets up to 2 p.m. The likelihood of a room upgrade also was not high. And we went the same weekend as one of the Backstreet Boys Millennium Tour. So I think if maybe the hotel had more availability, there could have been option for better rooms, but not really expecting to see much there.
Did Lamont get an upgraded room or was it just a higher floor?
So Lamont, one of the other guys in the bachelor party, another best man. So I believe he got technically, the higher floor was considered an upgrade, and the view of the sphere, I think, technically counts as an upgrade, even though the room itself was the exact same room that you had.
Makes sense.
Now, I will say some of the benefits, though, from being a globalist is you do get more bonus points for your spend there. And a lot of the restaurants and expenses that you have inside of the Venetian, the Palazzo, you can actually charge to the room. And by doing so, you can run that up through and get the bonus points being a globalist, or even more so if you're using a Hyatt card and getting the 9X through your Hyatt credit card. And I know this is one thing that was different, Chris, because I know that you had tried actually to change your Amex card to your Hyatt card. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, when they asked for a credit card on file, I tried to get the Hyatt card instead of the Amex Business Platinum so I can get the Hyatt points like you talked about with the 9X, but they said no, because you're with Fine Hotels and Resorts, it has to be that credit card. What they would have done if I didn't have the card on me, I don't know, but that's what they required.
For sure. So again, there's a little bit of a give and take. I still think I would have gone the Amex route. It is nice getting the boost in points because a lot of things that I could charge to the room, I did and was able to get a really good boost in points from them. But again, it felt a little bit lacking. Now to transition a little bit, I want to talk through the experience that we had in Vegas because I think it's important to highlight as well. You can have a Vegas bachelor party experience, like I said, that's not the traditional just girls and gambling. And that fact, that was something that I was pretty clear from the front end, like, hey, that's not what I'm looking for. So we had a few different experiences that I'd say were unique. One was extremely unique, and then a couple that were more of the clubs type experience as well. So Chris, I'm going to ask you, what was your favorite thing that we did as a group? And we'll go from there.
Oh, the shoot house by far. Well, the connection's through one of your clients, right? So the retired SEAL, and he partnered with a retired Green Beret for our day, which when they started, they did say how rare it is to get this kind of training from both a SEAL and a Green Beret at the same time. And so they picked us up in a limo, which was sweet. It was at 7 a.m. in Vegas, which was difficult, but still sweet. And they drove us an hour away from the property into basically a desert where you can do guns wise, whatever you can imagine, machine guns, handguns, rifles, whatever they have, you can shoot it. And they've got this warehouse kind of off to the side where it's completely enclosed. There's no air conditioning and there's no ventilation, and it's already 110 degrees inside, which was kind of rough, but it added to the experience a little bit. And they have it set up to where it's almost like a office building, apartment building type thing. And they just teach you CQB, right? How to clear a house, how to do close quarters combat with pistols and with a rifle. And some of the things that I learned were really applicable to real life situations and really simple stuff too. So for example, I remember one thing he talked about was, hey, if you're in your house and it's just you and your partner in your room and you don't have kids and there's nobody else to protect and you hear a noise, don't go find them because then you're at a disadvantage. Just call 911, barricade yourself in your room and wait for them to come to you. You're much safer by doing that. And, you know, as us, we're always like, all right, we got to go find, you know, what's going on and take care of it. But just thinking, okay, that makes a lot more sense because if you're hiding out in your room, you've called the police and you're waiting there, it just makes so much more sense than just going to try to find whoever broke into your house. So I remember the entire time he's teaching us all this stuff, he's like, hey, whatever I teach you today is a last resort kind of thing. But if you really want to know how to do it, here's how you do it.
Yeah, the company is called NOIR Training, N-O-I-R. And Colton Jordan, he's the owner of that company, been a client of mine for over a decade now. And back when he was in the SEAL teams, got out, he started this firearms training academy, works with training special forces, as well as he worked with like bodyguards for CEOs, security detail, all sorts of things. And it was a really cool, just educational and different experience because he basically gave us all kind of airsoft pistols to go. And we basically had a couple hours of just instruction and a couple hours of actually like trying and doing and learning, like, hey, here's how the Navy SEALs do it when they go into a building, or the police do it when they go into a building, talking through. Unfortunately, it's some of the things that we have to deal with, which I know that everyone that listens to the podcast is here in America, but talking through active shooter situations, which everyone knows is a thing in America more than other places. So a really different experience, which I thought was super unique and interesting, which all the guys were talking about nonstop the rest of the trip because it was such a different thing to do while in Vegas. Now, in Vegas, again, as you said, there's places where you can shoot machine guns, you can blow cars up, you can drive tanks, all sorts of things. But this was a very different experience. And then we also got to do the brand new John Wick experience. I don't want to give too much away because it's secretive for a reason, but I would say that it's kind of like a walking escape room. Would that be a good way to put it, Chris, do you think?
Walking and interactive. I've never had an escape room where you have a host in the room kind of giving a story behind what you're about to do.
I would agree. And it's a really cool bar to start because it takes place like you're in the Continental, the whole kind of story behind it. It's about anywhere from a 45 minute to an hour long experience, which is nice. There's a bar at the beginning, a bar at the end as well. You can kind of hang out in. So that made for a pretty interesting opportunity also. And then besides that, we also did the parties, right? So we had a couple pool parties. One of the best men, Julian, he got us on the artist list for Dre's Beach Club for their R&B Beach Club party. And then we also saw one of my favorite DJs, Martin Garrix, at Tao Beach Club, as well as we had a night at Tao Nightclub, a night at Hakkasan Nightclub. All these were incredible experiences.
I feel like day parties on the East Coast should be just as big as they are in Vegas because, I mean, in my 30s, I can't think of the last time that I opened and closed a club, but I think we did that for every single day party we went to. It was awesome to start at noon and be done by 5 p.m. That was my kind of party.
I feel that. I definitely feel that. I know you weren't as much of a fan of the late night going out, but I will agree that being able to start 11 in the morning, 12 at noon, and then have all the fun you want to and be done and kicked out by 6 is actually not a bad experience at all. Especially in the Vegas heat, the pools were a really cool experience. It was fantastic.
And I think they had the pools cooled because those pools were not, you know, whatever temperature they would be if they're sitting in 110 degree heat. I mean, they were like 75 degrees and kind of cold. It was awesome.
Yeah, it absolutely was. One thing I do want to point out as well is we ended up actually booking. So all the clubs I mentioned, well, not Dre's, but Hakkasan as well as Tao for their day club and their nightclub and some of the eating opportunities, the food opportunities. Like we had a brunch that was at Lavo, which is also a Tao restaurant. There is a separate points world for that Tao hospitality group has. And what you actually can do is if you're buying table service or a bottle service or eating at these restaurants or at these nightclubs or whatever it may be, you actually can rack up points at these facilities in general. And I believe the math is every $200 spent is a $10 certificate that you basically get to redeem at a future occasion. And so when you combine the cost of all of these clubs and kind of hanging out a whole bachelor party, all these different things, you actually can accrue a good amount of points that can be used for a nice dinner out or whatever it may be, all through their app. And even if you forget to tell your server or the table hostess, you know, what your check-in number is through the app, if you save the receipt, take a picture of it, you can upload it later when you're more clear-headed and be able to have the opportunity to get all the points as well. It takes them a couple of days when you do it that way versus when you're sitting at the restaurant, but it's still a really great way to rack up some additional points because that's a very easy way. If you did it for a whole bachelor party, as an example, multiple different nights out, different things like that, you could easily rack up a few $100 in certificates that you could actually redeem at any of the restaurants that are in like Dubai, or I think they have places in Miami and New York and Los Angeles and different places like that. So just a kind of a unique thing to when you're going to Vegas, it can make it easier or more efficient from a point standpoint to keep your bookings at a through a central hospitality group. I don't know if all of them do that, but I know I found that to be something super unique that Tao did. So Chris, as we start to wrap this one up, overall, I know it was an incredible experience. We stayed in a fantastic place, great company, great unique things that we did, some really cool sights we saw. Any other last tidbits or thoughts before we wrap this one up? Any other final thoughts that you might have yourself?
Yeah, a couple of things. I know we were kind of curious if I used my Hyatt business card on the property just to like buy things and checking out at restaurants and stuff, what it would code as. And I just checked and it didn't code as anything special. So that wasn't a workaround like we hoped it would be. One other thing I was thinking is that if you were staying at the Palazzo, there's a Walgreens that's attached to the property, which is super convenient and a great way to save a little bit of dough. So rather than buying drinks and snacks and stuff for the room from the hotel, to stop at Walgreens, it's going to be more expensive than the Walgreens in your hometown. But we went in on day one and we bought cases of water and mixers and alcohol and snacks and sunscreen for the pool, just to some things that we forgot. So one of my tips would be to stop at a Walgreens or similar if you're going to stay there.
It was perfect. The fact that it's literally right there on the ground floor. Now you can't, to my knowledge, I don't think you can enter the Walgreens through the Palazzo. You still have to kind of walk around towards the street to get and access it from the strip. But again, it was right there. You know, bring friends if you're trying to carry cases of water to other things. So there's not really easy carts that you can use to do so. But when you have a group of, you know, 8 guys, it makes it a little bit easier, which is nice. Chris, if you think through the Vegas experience as a whole, right, and the Palazzo specifically, would you come back here again, I should say, whether for a bachelor party, whether you're a couple, a family, kind of, you know, would this be a place that you're looking at going back to again? Or because, I mean, your experience was different again as Amex FHR, so would you think to go somewhere else?
I would definitely go back for something like this. And I was thinking of going back with my fiance just for the shows and other experiences that we didn't get to on the trip. But I would definitely go back again and I would book with FHR if I were to do it again.
Perfect. Well said. Well, with that, Chris, thank you for being on the show today. I know you've been listening to the podcast. That's part of the reason why you've been able to level up your game and get to Globalist so fast through our conversations and through some of the stuff that's come out on the show and some of the strategies that you and I've talked through. So super excited for all the things that you guys have coming up. Actually, can you mention the trip that you've already booked coming up at the end of the year? Because I think it'd be really cool for the listeners to hear about what you're going to be able to enjoy as a Globalist.
Yeah, I booked two for the end of the year. I don't know if I told you about the second one, but we're going to the Bahamas and St. Kitts. So part of my inspiration to get to Globalist is I want to have the DeAndre Koch experience on an international trip. And after we stayed at the Park Hyatt in Beaver Creek, I started just looking at all of the different Park Hyatts across the world, which I told you about. And I don't really like super long trips. I'm not going to do Maldives, probably. But there's a Park Hyatt in St. Kitts. One of the trips that I remember quite a bit is when you and I went to Hawaii in 2021. And St. Kitts, at least from the pictures, kind of reminds me of that. A super low key, like some mountains in the background, nice beaches, that kind of stuff. And they have a Park Hyatt. So maybe 2 years ago, I started thinking that I wanted to go to the Park Hyatt. And then when I learned more about Globalist, I'm like, all right, I want to earn Globalist and then go to the Park Hyatt as a Globalist. So I've got that trip at the end of the year, and I'm also staying at Baja Mar in the Bahamas in the beginning of December.
Absolutely incredible. I'm super excited that you're going to get to experience those things. Can't wait to hear about it as well. Chris, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For listeners out there, if you enjoyed learning more about Amex FHR and being a Hyatt Globalist when it comes to your next trip to Vegas, make sure to leave a rating, leave a review. If you're on YouTube, to give this video a like. Appreciate all the feedback, all the comments. Make sure to subscribe to our newsletter. Tell your friends, leave a rating, do all the things, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Travel doesn't just happen when you get on a plane. I'm Pauline Frommer, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore not just where to go, but how to bring travel into your everyday life through books, shows, and stories that shift your perspective, plus insights on smart destinations, timely trends, and interviews with the people shaping the way we explore. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or voyescape.com.